Oh yeah.
Hi, everybody. It's Marilyn Harris here of Hard at Work and the Impactful Legacy Podcast Show. And welcome today. My guest is Brian, and he has a very interesting story to share. So I'm really looking forward to hearing more about it. And in the meantime, Brian, why don't you introduce yourself and welcome to the show?
Well, Mary Lynn, thanks for having me on your show. It's great to be here. My name is Brian Clayton. I'm CEO, co-founder of a company called GreenPal. And GreenPal is a mobile app that works like Uber, but for lawn mowing service. So if a homeowner needs a lawn mowing service, they, rather than calling around on Craigslist or Facebook, they can just download our app and pop their address in and hire somebody to come take care of lawn mowing for them. Been at this for about 10 years.
Wow.
GreenPal is a 10-year overnight success. And now we're nationwide in the United States, like 300,000 people using this app to get their lawn mowed, and self-funded. My two co-founders and I have funded the business off of its own revenues. And I guess like consistency and just not giving up is what's got us here today.
Oh, great. Great. So with that, Brian, tell me, how did you get started doing GreenPal?
Yeah. So my first business was actually a lawn mowing business. I started mowing grass in high school as a way to make extra cash and stuck with this lawn mowing business for 15 years. And over a 15-year period of time, built one of the largest landscaping companies in the southeastern United States. Ended up building a business with over 150 employees. I had over $10 million a year in revenue. And then in 2013, I sold that company to a national organization, a national provider. And after that, I took like a year off and I got bored and I thought, well, what am I going to do with my life now? What am I going to, what am I going to focus all of my attention on? And I thought, well, I need another business. I need another project. I need another thing to want to like throw my soul into. And I thought, well, why not start a tech company? I mean, how hard could it be? And luckily, I didn't know what I didn't know. It was kind of naivete as an asset. And recruited two co-founders. We started working on the idea for what we thought GreenPal should be. And we're quickly confronted with how much harder than we thought it was going to be, how much harder than it looks to start a tech company. But we taught ourselves how to build software, how to code, and how to design software. And little by little, we started getting pretty good at building a marketplace, pretty good at building an app. And the first 3-4 years were really challenging, but after we got some momentum going, it started to get fun. And now, you know, 10 years in, running this business is fun.
So with the idea of creating a tech company, did you have an idea what you wanted to do that tech company to do?
Yeah. So I saw every day running my lawn mowing business, how difficult it was for homeowners to just hire a lawn mowing service. You wouldn't think that it would be a challenging, you wouldn't think it'd be a pain in the butt, but it actually is. And there's this weird phenomenon of the disappearing lawn guy. Like you might hire a guy and he'll flake on you, or you hire him and they do good for a little bit and then they kind of drop off the face of the earth. And so I saw these problems running a lawn mowing business, running a landscaping company. And so when I sold that business, I thought, well, somebody's going to build an app that is going to work kind of like Uber does, kind of like Lyft does, but for lawn mowing services. And I thought, well, why not me? Why can't I do that? And I thought an app should exist for what I just spent 15 years of my life doing. And two co-founders and I started working on the initial idea, the initial concept, and we paid a development shop to build what we thought the app should be. You know, you should be able to, you know, push a button, get quotes, hire them, they'll come out and do it. You pay them. And they took them like 9 months to build the first version of GreenPal. And we released that version and we were quickly confronted with the fact that if you're going to be in the tech business, you have to be able to write software yourself because what they built just wasn't, it was kind of dead on arrival. It didn't have the features it needed. It didn't really work very well. So we got a couple of people to use that first version of the app, just enough to give us enough feedback to understand how we needed to rebuild it. And my two co-founders and I rebuilt it from scratch. And then we started growing from there.
Right. Yeah. So how challenging was that for you to rebuild your app?
Really hard for a couple of reasons. One, executing development of new technology is hard. So that was challenging, and I kind of understood that piece of it. What I didn't know is it's a lot more challenging to invent something brand new from scratch that doesn't exist than to run a business. So my first business, I had kind of ran a traditional blue collar style of company, and it was challenging. But when I started my second company, we were inventing something brand new. We were inventing a new way of doing things. And that's a lot harder. Mm-hmm. That's a lot harder than you think it is until you get in there. And so that was the thing that kind of took me by surprise was, wow, there really is no roadmap for what we're doing here. And what I came to realize was that the only way to kind of figure it out as we went was to listen to what customers were telling me, you know, what they wished the app would do, where they were let down, where the processes didn't work. And little by little, we started fixing the thousand things that can go wrong between a homeowner hiring a contractor and getting the job done well. We started just focusing on like the five things that went wrong the most, fix those, and then move on to the next five. It was kind of like triage for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so that was challenging, but we just kind of just grinded our way through it.
Mm-hmm. And so how were you able to get your lawnmower people on board to use the app? Is that how you did it? Or did you decide to hire your own crew to do that?
So we are a marketplace that connects buyers and sellers. So we don't actually have any lawnmowers. We don't mow grass. We are a marketplace like eBay, or like when you buy something on Amazon from a third party seller, or when you book a house on Airbnb, they connect you with somebody that owns that home. We're situated in the same way, whereas we connect homeowners with local lawn mowing services and make the whole thing run smoother than it normally does. So we kind of have two customers. We have consumers and we have vendors, and we have to satisfy kind of the needs of each and make it easier for them to both conduct business on top of our platform than in the old way. And the way we did it in the early days is kind of like a chicken and egg problem. Do you focus on the lawn care services or do you focus on the consumers? And we kind of hand cranked it in the early days. It was very much like dial for dollars. We would call every lawn mowing service on Craigslist and pitch them on the idea of using our app to run their business. And one thing that we were able to do is I would offer them free coaching to grow their lawn mowing business. Cause I kind of knew how to do that. I had just built and sold an eight figure business. And so that kind of gave us enough time to get the first 100 all the way up to 500 service providers throughout the first dozen cities that we launched in, and then focus on the consumer side. And so that's what we did. We focused on nailing the consumer side for like 3 years until we came back to the vendor side and built all the tools they needed. So we kind of hand cranked one side of it. And now we have 32,000 lawn mowing services that use the app to run their business. I don't know all of them.
Yeah.
And so now it's more of a hands-free self-service model. But in the early days, it was very much hand cranking it.
Mm-hmm. And so what would you recommend if somebody wanted to kind of do what you started off doing, you know, knowing you had to code your own app first place, and then you had to learn from your customers. I'm sure you had to learn from what your vendors wanted too, right? So
absolutely. Yeah. And so to that point, when you're starting a new product like this, maybe a new marketplace, a new piece of technology, the first thing is that authenticity can be a competitive advantage. And what I mean by that is it can be really helpful to be solving your own problem. Maybe you have a decade or five years of experience in a particular industry, in a particular problem, that you've seen in the real world that you want to solve with technology.
Yeah.
So that would be my first bit of advice, is like, try to innovate in a space that you already know. For example, like I know a guy that started a marketplace that connects consumers with little small pizzerias. And his family owned a small pizzeria. He grew up in a pizzeria. He ran a small pizza shop. And so he knew the problems that little small pizzerias face. My point is try to innovate in something that you have the first person experience with. That can be very helpful. Second thing is remove all of the friction between you and your customers and make it really seamless for them to tell you everything that's on their mind, particularly in the early days. Until you've got 10,000 customers, I mean, you really need to make it easy for them to talk to you, the founder, whether it be them literally calling you on your cell phone, the email from your system comes back to your email inbox, the live chat hits you up on your cell. Things like that can really kind of help you demystify what you need to be focused on, because your customers are going to tell you what the top five things are that you're letting them down on.
Right, right. And so what kind of methods did you do? You said you had chat, email, pick up the phone, answer the phone.
All of the above. The primary one that was instrumental in the early days, and even still to this day, is we use a piece of software called intercom.com. And so what Intercom is, it's like it's live chat software.
Yeah.
And you might say, yeah, great, everybody has that. Well, what was really helpful for us was Intercom has a really nice mobile app that you as the founder or as the customer support team, you have on your phone. And so literally for the first 4 years, 7 days a week, 18 hours a day, I was doing customer support myself personally on the fly.
Right.
People pinging us, hey, I hired a lawn mowing service. They didn't show up, or I hired a lawn mowing service and they didn't do the backyard, or I hired a lawn mowing service on your app and they let the dog out. So we started seeing like all these common problems that were occurring on the app. And so me as the founder, I was never at a loss for what were the top three things we needed to be focusing the team on.
Right.
Because I was doing all of the support. And even to this day, now with several hundred thousand people using the app, I still do at least an hour a day of customer support. So there's never any kind of like gap that exists between customer logic and founder logic. Like I want to close that gap. And the way I do that then and now is by doing my own customer support.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. You have to, because otherwise you don't know what your customers want and what they're looking for and how you can solve their problem, whatever that is. Right. Especially in the green space. Right.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your best customer you like to work with and how you've been able to acquire them.
So when we first started, we thought that our customer for the consumer side was going to be affluent people, $1 million plus home, lots of disposable income, wanted to hire a private gardener. And that was really taken out of like the experience of running my first landscaping business, because that was the customer segment we went after.
Right.
What we came to learn and realize over time was that wasn't our customer. Our customer was actually the working class folks, the maybe dual income, modest home, maybe a starter home. And they start to realize that, you know, they're working 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. They don't have time to mow their own yard, or, you know, they could pay somebody to mow their grass on our app, maybe as little as $30. And by the time they buy a mower, they do it themselves. They go get gas. They sharpen the lawnmower blades, all of that nonsense. They're making less than minimum wage doing this chore at their home. And so as time went on, we became to understand that actually it was the middle class and below was the ideal sweet spot user for our product. And so that's who we really set out to serve on the consumer side. And then on the lawn mowing service side, the smaller one person operators, one man band, like or Peter in a pickup or Molly in a mower, is really who we set out to serve on the pro side, because we really want to help them get from like five customers, 10 customers to 100 customers. We want to really help them grow their business and make material income on our platform.
Yeah. So I guess what's the breaking point to really scale up 100 customers or more?
Yeah. When you're in the lawn mowing business, it's hard to get like some momentum going. It's hard to get your first 10 or 20 customers. And then after you get that many customers, then you start to develop your systems, your processes, your routines. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing is like, how do I serve 100 customers? And then like 100 to 250 is another like level of the game. It's our job to make all of that smoother and demystify how to get there. And also get them as much business as they want to do, help them organize it all in one place, help them organize their routes throughout town to where they can operate a business more efficiently, and help them get paid quickly. One thing that sinks a lot of service providers, lawn mowing services, is cash flow. Whenever they mail an invoice or send a Venmo request, it's always like the last thing to get paid in the household.
Mm-hmm.
It's our job, our app, our marketplace's job to make sure they get paid within 24 hours of the work they do to help mm-hmm. keep them afloat and help them solve that cash flow.
Yeah. So it sounds like you'd kind of really support them in the back end as well.
That's what we exist to do, because if we help these folks make more money, help them run a better business, a more efficient, more streamlined business, then they're able to be kind of hired off the shelf by consumers. So we solve for the service provider first.
Right. Yeah. So very full circle business. Yeah. So what's your idea for expansion, for growth, or you want to just stay in that little circle?
We have a philosophy of you have to be the best in the world at one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be the best solution for a single problem for somebody to try out your product. Now, mm-hmm. you might say, well, you know, there's websites like Amazon where I can do a million things. Well, Amazon was a bookseller for like 10 years before they did all these other things. And so I think you really have to dominate one use case, one market segment. And for us, you know, we're nationwide in the United States, we're doing over $30 million a year in revenue, but mm-hmm. we really need to get to $100 million a year in revenue. We need to get to 1 million users. And there's a lot more white space out there for us in terms of people using our product. We haven't reached like a saturation point. And until we're like in the same conversation as an Uber, mm-hmm. as an Airbnb, as an Instacart, DoorDash, the default way that you do these things, you know, there's no reason for us to go into other use cases. We have a long way to go in this one.
Right. So tell me a little bit about, do you have I kind of read some of your information, is that you really have a sustainability model attached to your product or your service with your app. So do you have one? Do you have a sustainability plan, or in that regard, like something green or your legacy, I guess you could say?
With respect to sustainability, we do offer battery-powered services, green services, I guess, if you will, and we designate those service providers on the platform. So if you're the kind of consumer that's important to you and you want to hire somebody that has battery-powered equipment, that uses organic fertilizers, things of that sort, you now have the option to sort those from other people in the marketplace. Whereas if you do it the old way, you don't really know. There's no way to know if they're a green style contractor. And what we've seen is more and more that's important to consumers. They, you know, mm-hmm. I would say 10% of people steer their buying behavior based on green solutions and sustainability.
Yeah, because it speaks to their values, right?
That's right.
You know, of the planet, of their lives. I remember when I worked in a garden area of Lowe's, I would always convince the people to buy organic soil if they're planting vegetables, because otherwise you're eating that chemical in the other plant, you know, other soil. And they would stop and look at me, oh, never thought of that.
Never thought of it that way. the bill always comes due on these things.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's, you know, it's just really education, because like you were saying, people just don't know. They don't know the difference. They might say, well, I bought this GMO soil because I want to plant my garden. And I'm like, okay, you know, remind me not to eat it.
Exactly.
So it's just like, you know, like, if you're watering your lawn, you're building green. So is that the other thing, that because it seems to be a lot of water shortages, certainly in California here, but in your area, is that a consideration that people are maybe going over to the not real grass, but or still doing real grass?
The ideal user for our service is somebody who owns a basic house with a basic yard, or maybe rents. And if you run the numbers on what you can pay somebody to maintain the vegetation mm-hmm. outside of your home, It gets to be pretty cost effective when you use an app like ours. Most folks that use our app do go every 2 weeks and they spend $35-$40. Yeah. So $80 a month, 6-7 months out of the year, we're talking $600 or $700 a year to maintain the exterior landscape of your home. Whereas if you look at the upfront cost of installing AstroTurf or xeriscaping or something like that, I mean, it could take you 10 years to make your money back. And so for us, you know, it's a real basic use case. 99.9% of homes in America need to get it done. And that's what we focus on.
Right, right. So do you recommend anything of how they can still keep their lawn green and not cost a lot of money besides just mowing? Do you provide that information or just about mowing?
We focus on the simplest use case possible. If you're starting to get into where you have an irrigation system and you fertilize the hell out of the yard, you pay a weed treatment control company, that gets more into private gardener type of use case.
Okay.
And 80% of people just want somebody to mow the yard and maybe trim the bushes a couple of times a year. Okay. That's what we focus on. Okay. Folks that spend $4,000 or $5,000 a year maintaining their landscaping, which that used to be the business I was in for 15 years. That's not who we go after. We go after more the simpler use case.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So what's your legacy with your business for GreenPal?
My legacy for my business is I hope that we offer a way for more people to access business ownership in America and get them access to being in business for themselves and being their own boss and making material income on top of our platform. That's really why we do what we do. And that's why I enjoy running this company. Is we have tons of vendors that use the platform that tell us, hey, you know, I went from a push mower to now I have like a $15,000 riding lawn mower that saved me from like blowing my back out from push mowing yards all day. Thank you so much for helping me buy this equipment with getting me new business. Or, you know, or also to put a kid through school or put a down payment on a house. That's a lot of fun. That's our legacy. That's why we do what we do.
Okay. Great. Do you have any final comments you'd like to share with us about GreenPal or yourself?
You know, I think owning a business is one of the best things you can do with your life. I think for me, looking back 22 years, I've never had a job. I've always ran my own businesses. It's been one of the best things that's ever happened to me. It's caused me to learn new things, take on challenges I never would have taken on. And a business can be the thing that causes you to do interesting things with your life. And so that's the message I like to convey to folks. And also, you know, hopefully somebody listens to this conversation with me. They say, you know, if that guy can do it, I can do it.
Right.
And that's the other thing I hope I can impart on people is that it's not as hard as you think. Just get in the game and start working.
Right. And in doing all that, having your own business, a good place to start is for somebody's in high school that needs part-time income or wants to do it over the summer, right?
Exactly. A lot of times getting in the business is getting the swings at plate, is going through the motions, is getting the reps in. And something as simple as a lawn mowing business is a great business to do that because you can learn a lot of what it means to run your own little small business in something like a service-based business, like a lawn mowing business.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It sounds like you provide a lot of great, wonderful service to our people, whether they're starting their own lawn business or whether they just want to buy the service, like just got my grass.
That's what we're here to do.
Well, it's been wonderful having you on the show, Brian, and I wish you well. And if you have any final things you'd like to say, you say it now, and then let's close off the show.
Well, good luck to everybody out there listening. And Mary Lynn, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Hey, you're so welcome. Anyway, we'll talk to you soon again, I'm sure. So
alrighty. Anyway,
take care, everybody, and happy mowing. And please be kind to each other. And hey, that might be a good idea. Buy a service for somebody, for your neighbor. That might really help you out. So just reach out to Brian and GreenPal. And you'll find all his information below this video when I post it on YouTube. Okay. Thanks so much and have yourself a wonderful day. Thank you. Bye.